Villainous Beats. Every other Wednesday.
What up?
Hey, what's up? Oh, shit dog. It's another fucking day.
It's another day.
Oh, another day. Another 25 cents.
Another 25 cents?
Ugh. Another 25 cents whole quarter. That's what they're paying.
25 me. Cents whole quarter. None of them halves.
No half quarters. All right, let me... All right, get the... I've got my iPad here, so I'm going to get docs. The doc pulled up. I noticed that we had a, whatchamacallit, an uptick in likes on the latest Facebook post for every other Wednesday.
And?
We got like 36 likes. But
how many are fake?
So fucking many. Because like, I don't think we've hit 36 downloads on the episode yet. We might have. Shit dog, let me check. Safari.
Amazing.
New tab. Every other Wednesday. Admin. I know we don't.
Because we
don't want to talk about the show
zucked.
In the show, but
getting zucked, man.
We're getting zucked hardcore.
Getting zuckered.
27 listens on the most recent episode, down from 70 when we had friend of the show Dr. Don on.
Ooh, that's nice. What a nice number.
27. That's how old I'll
no,
be
70.
In 2 years. Oh, the 70 with Dr. Don.
Oh yeah, man.
27.
Oh shit, dog. Did you listen to the most recent episode of Food Safety Talk?
I have not listened to Food Safety Talk at all. So
shame on you. First,
I need to.
First
yeah.
off, but so Max was the guest. It was a it was a surprise for Professor Chapman. And the first thing, so Don says. So Ben, I have a treat for you, or I have a surprise for you. And Ben's first reaction is, "I want a treat." And little did he know, Master of Treats Max Temkin was on the line. I just hit my bell with a spoon, try to create that Merlin effect. But I found out that a lot more people than just Merlin do the bell thing. Like Don does the bell. I was very proud. One of my jokes, I think it was my Marie Kondo joke, got Dr. Don to ring his bell. I was very...
Nice.
Probably one of my prouder moments.
Nice.
Oh, fuck. Ugh.
Oh, man. So what did they do with what did they do with Max? What did they end up doing?
Oh, they just...
They just talked about stuff? Or
they talked about food safety.
Where they did a challenge?
They didn't do a challenge. They talked about food safety, obviously, because, you know, it's food safety talk.
That's the talk, yeah.
And, but they had a, like, the last bit of the episode is, like, hilarious. Like, the whole episode's fun, but the last bit where, because Max actually, delved into whatchamacallit some food production at one point because
really?
Yeah, Cards Against, so every Black Friday Cards Against Humanity does something to make like the day a little bit less shit. Like last mm-hmm. year they had the 99% off sale where they sold like
right.
a bunch of random bullshit at 99% off, stuff like $100 bill 99% off, or the cone head that what's his face wore in Conehead the movie, just all this random bullshit.
Nice.
And it was very good. But
I'm listening.
A few years back,
but food, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Dylan,
yeah, I'm still here.
I can't hear you, and I don't know if it's me or you.
It's you. Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, yep. It's probably just I was. I'm experimenting with my Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, don't do that.
And yep, that's That's the way to cause a problem. Yeah. So I will hard connect them. I will hard connect them right now.
Yeah, bud. Oh, no. All right. So, but a few years back, Max did, whatchamacallit. So Cards Against Humanity did this thing called Prongles, which was they white labeled essentially knockoff Pringles and sold them for one day at Target. And it was a very good goof, but Max was telling the story about how that started. And essentially they were just walking around Target, like looking for ideas for bits. And like one of them said, like, just a single Pringle as an idea for a card. And they just like kept going down this rabbit hole. And there's one that literally made me cry laughing, which Max had to stop for a second to compose himself before he said it, but it was
extra screaming dill Pringles.
Yes.
A can of Pringles that screams when you open it. Just random bullshit like that. And I was like, oh my god, this is the content I'm here for.
That reminds me of Toy Story 4. I haven't seen it yet, but that the character that Tony Hale plays is the talking spork.
I haven't seen anything to do with Toy Story 4, and yeah. I will not watch it. Toy Story 3 had the perfect conclusion. I'm just gonna.
That's not my Toy Story.
Yeah, that's not my. That's not my Woody.
Boom. Title.
Oh shit, dog! Super early on too. Oh man.
Yep. How are we gonna top that?
Oh, we'll find a way. We'll find a way.
I came up with the title "Every Other Extra" for an after show.
Every other extra.
Yeah.
Nice.
If we want to use that at some point,
hell yeah,
for a Patreon thing or something.
For sure. For sure. Every other after dark.
Ooh.
Oh.
What do we do in every other after dark?
I mostly just talk about my cum laden banana.
sensually.
I definitely want to make that a reward tier on Patreon. Is like make it like a ridiculous like one time donation amount, like $500, and you get the cum laden banana. And I'm sure no one will go for it, but it'll be there. It'll be
$500.
Hey, if you want to give $500 a month.
$500 for a banana. How much did the banana cost?
Like
$6.
$12.
$12?
12 whole doll hairs.
I forgot you paid 12 doll hairs for that.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah. And the banana for scale was a little bit more expensive because.
I mean, you're helping those kids. So.
Yeah, I'm helping that one kid who's got a hard on for geology.
He's a Brock. Super entrepreneur. Jeez, that's a shitty joke.
Do you ever just like when you're in the shower or you're sitting on the toilet, just come up with like really dumb ideas for sex that you're not gonna send anybody because you don't know how to sext?
No, but that's okay.
So I did. Go on. And today my very good idea was not unlike the water at my grandparents' house in Springfield, I'm hard.
That's amazing.
Now I just need a girl to send that one to. Or a guy. I don't discriminate.
Or a guy.
Let's see here. So what's going on? What's going on?
All of the things, man. Oh.
All of them?
I realized a lot of the things that I had on my list were just podcasts because I listened to all of the podcasts that were downloaded to my phone last night.
Damn, so. Dog.
Yeah. John Green has a podcast now.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, he and his brother
pretty cool.
Both do, yeah.
No, he came out with a new one.
Oh, actually. Oh shit, dog. What's it about?
So I found this out from 99% invisible, because we know how rare new 99% invisible episodes are. Not to dunk on Roman Mars, because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they, you know, it's just becoming a little joke at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there was an episode on his new podcast called The Anthropomorphine Reviewed. Mm-hmm. Anthropomorphine Reviewed.
Oh, damn.
Which is basically, did you ever watch, it's a pretty niche show. It was on Comedy Central. It's a web series.
Oh, shit.
Called Reviewed.
No, I did not.
You would love this show.
Hell yeah.
It's so good. But it was about reviewing everything.
Okay.
And so, I don't know if John Green is aware that show existed,
mm-hmm.
but, he basically made a show that was kind of like that, but he reviews, like, instead of actually reviewing just the experience of things, mm-hmm. Like happen in life, he reviews kind of the story and history behind it.
Oh.
And so he kind of has like a essayist, he basically writes like it really sounds like a essay that he's written down and thought about for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and like gathered his thoughts on why exactly like the thing he's talking about is important.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Not really an off the cuff kind of, you know, it's like
a CGP, but it's not video.
Yeah. It's not really report either. Right. It's not really him. I mean, he talks about his life, but it's more of a, like how it's important to him. I don't know if I'm getting that off correctly, but,
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, he did two on the podcast, I think. Two episodes, which is four topics. One was Piggly Wiggly.
Isn't that like a grocery chain?
Yeah. He has a weird history with Piggly Wiggly because it kicked his grandparent out of business.
Oh, shit dog. Like so, a local business owner or small
yeah grocer. Local business owner. So he worked for a local business owner, and yeah, at the wrong time.
Damn, that fucking sucks. Yeah, yeah, I remember.
So
I had actually so there was another podcast that I think you might like that I started listening to this week, which is Strong Songs. And I listened to the episode that was recommended by Merlin on Twitter, and I'll share a link to it in the show notes. But it was a breakdown of Satisfied from the musical Hamilton. And it's absolutely buck wild how many motifs and themes that Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote into just that one song. And like, I imagine like the same care and dedication was put into like every other song in the musical, and it's buck wild. And so that led me down a rabbit hole of another song or another podcast with a similar vibe. That's not the word I was going for initially, but it'll work. It'll do.
Theme?
It'll do. Oh, that reminds me. I have a that'll do story for later. But so it's called Song Exploder.
Yes.
And actually,
it's a great podcast.
I heard about it from Professor Chapman, Ben Chapman, on Twitter. He hasn't been on the show yet, but I'm pretty sure he's a friend of the show.
There Rishikesh Hirway and Tao Nguyen are both doing stories on Song Exploder.
Yeah,
it's a great, great podcast. I love it.
Absolutely, the first one I listened to was the breakdown with John Roderick of The Commander Thinks Aloud, and it was it was just a kick-ass episode, and I loved it a lot. And like, I listened to the song, like, because obviously they play the song at the end of every episode of the podcast,
right?
And just like cried. Like, it's such a just really powerful song. And
right.
There was another one that, not an episode of the podcast, but a song that kind of has the same feeling to it as The Commander Thinks Aloud, which I believe that was about the Challenger exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Turner, I'm going to Google to make sure I'm getting this right. Commander Thinks Aloud. Me. Do do do.
Mm-hmm. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, so it was the Columbia
okay.
disaster that inspired The Commander Thinks Aloud and what it's about. And the song that I get a similar feeling from is by Frank Turner, off the album, I think 2015 album, Positive Songs for Negative People.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Silent Key. And it's about the Challenger exploding. And it's just a really powerful song, and it hits me super hard every time. But yeah. So those are things and
yeah,
stuff.
Song Exploder. The last one that I listened to was the Mountain Goats' Cadaver Sniffing Dog, which is pretty good. I listened to the episode for the Cranberries song All Over Now, which mm-hmm. if you know about the Cranberries, their singer mm-hmm. Died recently.
Yeah.
And she died before the album came out, so they had to finish mm-hmm. the album without her, and that was a... Mm. really emotional story, but it was yeah. It's pretty good. I love the Cranberries. Yeah. Panda Bear, Dolphin. Like if there's anybody that I recognize, some people, even if I don't recognize them but I've heard about them, I'll go and just look at an episode. Mm-hmm. And then I might get into their music. I think one of the better ones that I've listened to is the MGMT one. They do an episode on Electric Feel by MGMT.
Okay.
And
got you.
They not only talk about the song, but talk about the fast rise to stardom and like how that was hard as a young person and mm-hmm. like how they coped with that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Song Exploder.
All right. To take it off like a downer note, because we got a little bit low there, I'm going to tell you my make do story. So yesterday, because I downloaded the app from, I believe, the FDA that was recommended.
The FDA is on the App Store?
Oh, yeah. Food Keeper, that's the name of the app. Dr. Don would be very proud of me for having this on my mm-hmm. phone. But basically, it... helps you, so it's got basically any category of food or food product, and it basically lets you know like the typical range of shelf stability of that product. Mm-hmm. And so I had smoked salmon that I was using for lox, mm-hmm. and I had to do something with it yesterday because it was getting close to the end of its shelf stability.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any bagels. So what I did was I made lox and schmear on wheat bread. Mm-hmm. And as I'm making this for dinner last night, I thought to myself, huh, Southern Jews make do.
I was hoping there was gonna be mustard involved in that recipe. Was there any? No, but you put cream cheese on.
Yeah, what the
mustard?
Fuck?
You haven't had mustard sauce with like a honey mustard?
No,
it's very good.
No,
it's very good.
There is a one of my friends, Chase. He I sent that to him because he's Jewish, uh-huh. and I thought he'd appreciate the joke. And he fucking asked me if he could post that on a group that he's in about bagels for Jews, uh-huh. and then invited me to the group. And the title is amazing. It's "Doing This to Bagels is Incredibly Offensive to My People."
Wow.
And it's just posting like shit about awful bagel preparations and bagels that are just aberrations and should never have been made. And it's very good content.
It's like
so
that
11 out of 10 would recommend.
It's like that video on cutting your bagel the right way.
Oh, fuck. Yes, that was actually shared in the group today. Of making it, what was it? The, what's the scientific word for it? Or the
best way to cut a bagel.
There's a specific word for it.
Yes, there is. Fucking, and I need to speed through this video. It's on Business Insider. For some reason.
What the fuck?
And... oh man, this video is so good. It's the best way, and then she gets cream cheese all over her fucking hands.
And it's so bad, and she doesn't even take a bite out of it. Like at the end, like the video cuts out before she Mobius strip. That's what it is.
To cut a circular object in such a way that it gets longer and it folds back in on itself without actually cutting through it.
Mm-hmm. It's a surface with, as defined by Google, a surface with one continuous side formed by joining the ends of a rectangular strip after twisting one end through 180 degrees.
Exactly.
And so...
That's great.
Speaking of Mobius, back when I was in the Air Force, when I first got to Dover, I used to have this really long overcoat, like black overcoat, mm-hmm. that I'd wear in the winter. And because obviously, like, I had glasses and this big coat, they decided to start calling me Mobius. Like, this was the motherfucking
Mobius.
Matrix.
You Mobius. Mean Morpheus? But they did.
Morpheus! That's what it is! Mobius strip! Shit, dog! Let's
Mobius.
Cut all that out!
Take the red pill or the blue.
Please don't red pill me.
Oh, man. I need my pills, man. I'm gonna stay woke.
Gotta stay woke. Now that I think about it, I haven't taken my Zoloft today.
I should do that. it's getting nice and toasty outside and all springy and nice. Springy.
It is.
I mean bloomy. Dog.
I have to, speaking of bloomy and springy and nice, I'm going to link to a tweet. I actually don't think I tweeted out. But I made a friend today while I was out back. I was reading. continuing to read Unauthorized Bread.
Nice.
The first story in. What's it called?
Radicalized.
By Cory Doctorow. Radicalized.
Cory Doctorow. I know that because I went to the library and tried to look for it and I couldn't find it.
Oh, no. I got it on my Kindle. Big happy. Yep. But, So I was taking a break. I was having a cigarette and drinking my coffee, and this little tiny bee just landed on my finger.
Friend.
And he didn't want to get off my finger. And so I took him over to some of the blooming flowers that are growing next to where I was sitting. He didn't want to get off because they were kind of dried out. They probably didn't have that good nectar juice. He didn't want to be a pollen
boy with that
bullshit. Flower. Exactly. He was not pleased. And so I took him over to the other side of the house and tried to get him on this nice, big, juicy yellow flower so he could get that good nectar. Just, like, slurp it up and be the big pollen boy. I did see he had some pollen on his little leggies, but he still didn't want to get off.
Really?
And so I wound up like finding like a big grass.
a big grass. A grass blade, an invisible blade.
It was like, yeah, you know, like that big
grass. You know, like one big grass.
It just, it fucking grows in like little clumps, like the
like
I'm talking
grass?
Like no, like the big grass, dude.
You gotta send me a picture. I can't really. Okay, so like it's different from just regular lawn grass. It's like
it's okay. Yeah, it's like an individual plant with like big leaves of grass. All right, big grass.
I gotcha.
That's gonna be the show art big for this grass. Episode. I'm gonna take a picture of the big grass.
You know me, always smoking up that big grass. Hey, 420.
You can't see it, but I'm dabbing real hard right now.
I need to dab. I think dogs should vote. Oh. Boom.
Hey, everybody. I think dogs should vote.
Oh, man. That video is... Why are the McElroy brothers just so much better than we are?
Oh, well,
they've been at it for 12 years now.
So, yeah. And
can't really.
Oh, there was a new video that they uploaded to the McElroy family YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And it was like... They were doing a ghost tour.
Oh, yeah.
And it had, like, big, like, mabimbam
TV energy.
I thought that was from the TV series. That wasn't. So they recently, because
really?
You can tell, because Trav has the purple hair. He's
nice.
A purple hair boy. So it was very funny. So they, essentially, they're in New Orleans, and they go on a ghost tour with their guide. And Justin asks the guide, have you ever seen a ghost? And he says, yes. And immediately after, he's like, have you ever tasted a ghost? And Justin's like, dude, why would you skip over that first story? Like, I'm sure there's like more nuance and detail to the seeing the ghost. Why would you skip over all that and ask stuff if you fucking tasted a ghost?
So it's not the same one that they... They talked about a couple of weeks ago, maybe at a live show, they were talking about going through a house or whatever, like a haunted house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
like
that's
some good haunted boys that like the haunts.
They like the haunts?
I mean,
they are from the Midwest. Oh, yeah. Midwest has... Have you... Are you familiar with the genre Midwest Gothic?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so I say genre like it's a fucking book
right.
or something, but it's mostly like long text posts on Tumblr, and it's like, oh, I fucking did a dramatic reading of one time. Oh shit, I'll take that up for the show notes. Actually, you know what? I'll drop it at the end of the show. That's your guys' treat this week.
MidwestGothic.com. Writing the Midwest. Oh, is it like road journals or whatever, or is it like
nah dude, it's like a brand of like suspense / horror type deals. Let me see, Midwest Gothic.
It's a okay, because there's a series called Midwestern Gothic. That's why I got confused.
Tumblr. It's like aesthetic posting, and hang on, let me see.
Flyover Country, right, man.
The corn goes on forever. Dark leaves reaching to the sky. To wander in the cornfields is to be lost forever. There are things in the cornfields, always only seen from the corner of your eye. The leaves rustle. It's just the wind, you tell yourself. There's always wind. Small towns litter the landscape, each one filled with its own blend of despair. The old men gather every day for coffee and then disappear. You only see them at the coffee places, never arriving or leaving. There's always coffee. Each town you drive to has a sign proclaiming that they were once state champions. Champions of what? No one remembers. What's important is that they won. And it's like, oh, just like shit like that. And I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
It's like, what, relating the isolation of the geography to the isolation of the character emotionally? Something
yes,
like that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool aesthetic, but, man.
Hell yeah, big aesthetics. You know we're all about
we
the aesthetics
all about
here
the
at every
aesthetics.
Other Wednesday. Do you know what a good aesthetic I really like
what
is?
What is that?
People supporting us on Patreon.
I do like that. Hey.
That's a real
hey,
cool.
Hey, are we doing a commercial? going over to
the
money zone.
Hell yeah, we're gonna just hop right into the money zone. So, here on Every Other Wednesday, we don't have ads. We're not gonna try and sell you silver underwear that has just the right sink and bounce, or a certain brand of date-based nutrition bar
or a mattress that it comes in a very small box that like overinflates when you open it.
Impossibly small.
Impossibly small.
We are as a podcast, 100% listener supported. To make that happen for you, to bring you this good content, we do have a Patreon. We'd love if you'd support it. It's that's the website. EOW.fireside.fm is where you can find the show notes. Where you can find the Patreon is patreon.com/EOW. And if you want to do us a support.
I noticed that the profile is under Dylan's name. So if you forget the link, you can look up Dylan Bickers on Patreon and it'll show up.
Yeet. Hell yeah. But it's an easy link to remember. Just patreon.com/E as in every, O as in octopus, W as in World of Warcraft. Right.
They don't know the show's name, but they know your name, so they look up your name on Patreon.
Who's Dylan? Who's Dylan Bickers? I want to give that boy some money.
All of the monies. All of them.
All right. I'm pulling it up now, actually.
Do it.
We're currently making $0 a month with zero patrons.
Oh, yeah.
But you can change
only way
that.
To go is up.
Exactly. So you can be a supporter for $5 or more a month. With a pledge of $5 a month, you will earn our undying gratitude, and your name will be added to the wall of thanks, which exists at the website EOW.fireside.fm.
Oh, yeah.
If you support $10 or more a month, support $10
support
or more a month.
With
support us with your money. With a pledge of $10 a month, you don't just get our undying gratitude and your name on our website. You'll also receive all the special content we promise we're working on to justify this price. That's going to be stuff like an after show. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to put the dramatic reading of that one super long Midwest Gothic. Actually, you know what?
Be cool.
I just thought of an idea. I'm totally stealing this from my friend David Steinberg, but if we hit $100 per month, I will do a ASMR reading with my good ASMR
do
voice
it.
Of the entire Mueller report.
The entire one? Like
the entire one.
Like how that's like over 1,000 pages, isn't it?
It is. It's over 1,000 pages. Oof. So if we make over $100 a month, I will produce the ASMR reading of the Mueller report. And you might be wondering to yourself, how are we going to handle the redacted situation?
Exactly.
Well, that's easy. For the duration, so I'll have the duration of one, so I'll time myself for how long it takes me to read a line. Mm-hmm. And I will break that up some scientific wild ass guess about how long each smaller break should be. And I will get very far away from the microphone and just scream for that duration.
how long do you think that recording would take? Months?
Honestly, probably. Yeah. But I've said it now. And
you can't go back on it now.
I'm a man of my
word.
People,
you got to donate
money totally
in order to hear this boy speak and shout at the microphone and hate himself for a couple months.
Oh, yeah. It'll definitely be well worth it. So if you want to do that, support us on Patreon. One more time, it's patreon.com/E as in every, O as in, oh my God, why is he going to do that? W as in, why the fuck are you going to do this?
Crazy.
All right, let's get out of the mummy zone. This place is dark and full of terrors.
I was going to say, so I did not get radicalized at the library, but I did get this big edition of The Ultimate Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, hell yeah, by Douglas Adams.
So it has all five of the novels that he wrote, plus the short story. I think Young Zaphod
So Long
Rise
and Thanks
Again.
For All the Fish. Oh, that's what it is. So Long and Thanks for All the Fish was the last of the five, right?
Yeah, did you read all of those?
I did.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, They're so good. I just got done reading The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. Thematically, that book is so engaging because it's very intelligently written. It's very smartly written. You know, he knows a lot about what he is parroting or destroying in context. And then obviously there's a lot of really funny, just politics things about and the president thought that he was in charge of the universe. But I mean, if Zaphod Beeblebrox could be in charge of anything, the only people that were in charge of the universe were those six people, and the six people were the only people that knew that. It's very good commentary.
11 out of 10 would recommend to a friend. However, I would not recommend the film adaptation.
I actually saw that, and I didn't think it was terrible. But
I hadn't
read the books yet. The books are
well. Here's the thing, Devin. You're enjoying the content wrong.
Yeah. I was happy because Mos Def is in it, and Zooey Deschanel's in it, and Martin Freeman's
That's
in it.
That's true.
And Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman. Yeah, Alan Rickman's in it.
Yep. R.I.P.
And who's that one guy that plays Zaphod? Shit. I think the cast is pretty good. I still think maybe my one criticism of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is I don't think they give Trillian enough to do.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell's amazing.
Got it.
I don't think they give Trillian enough to do. That's my hot take. Douglas Adams didn't know how to write women, so he didn't. Boom.
Yeah, fair, fair. That's fair commentary, I'd say.
But yeah, no.
At least,
I was just gonna say, there's a lot of just fun. There's just a lot of good jokes in it, and a lot of one-off jokes, and a lot of it'll do the British thing of reading you a page of dialogue just to get to the punchline. I love it so much.
It's wonderful British humor, and 11 out of 10 would recommend to a friend.
We should do a review of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie adaptation.
Challenge
maybe. That would be nice.
Hell yeah. I'd be down for that. Yeah, for
sure.
What
were you going to say, Dylan?
I forget.
I'm sorry.
Shit, dog. No, you didn't do this. I did this to myself. My brain is the one who failed. Let's see.
My brain
here.
Is the one who knocks.
My brain is the one who knocks. It wears a bowler hat. And
he wore a bowler hat.
Did he
and
wear
80s-ish glasses?
Knocked.
Did he knock?
He knocked.
What if every episode of Breaking Bad was just him showing up to doors and knocking?
Knocking. He's like, hey, do you want to sign my petition? Oh, shit, dog. Speaking of petitions.
Boom, boom,
boom. Wait, that's the Kim Possible theme.
Call me, beep me, if you want to reach me.
So if you want to reach me and you're in Ohio and you're a Democrat, please do call me or beep me. Because
are you going to get a pager?
A pager? Yeah,
I
definitely. Oh, absolutely. No, it's cool. It's only the future of Ohio. No big deal. So believe it or not, your lovable boy, Dylan Bickers, is working on running for state representative for the 71st district in Ohio. It's going to be, I'm trying to get enough signatures right now to get on the Democratic primary. I only need 50.
Cool.
I also find it somewhat silly that, so on the actual petition that's approved by the Ohio Board of Elections, mm-hmm. There's only 26 spots for signatures.
Weird.
So you have to print off multiple.
Right.
And because it's 26, like, you're not gonna, like, fill out two and, like, have the perfect 50.
Right.
So it's like,
aesthetically, you're like, what is going on? Like,
Either, like, make room for all 50 signatures on one petition, or break it down to, like, be a divisible by 50. But I guess it changes because, like, as, like, years change, the required number of signatures change, or the law affecting mm-hmm. what's required changes. And so that's where we're at now.
I wouldn't
now.
Guess that 50 signatures is doable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably going to be doing an event, like a barbecue, like a get together mm-hmm. or something like that for the friends of mine who want to sign up and see me in local government.
Cool.
I'm going to be meeting with a good pal, David Donofrio, a fellow Scioto mm-hmm. grad who's run a few campaigns himself for different positions in Ohio. And as of right now, my campaign manager is the one and only Matt Travis.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a dream team right there.
Oh, hell yeah. Gotta have the... Gotta have the big spoon, because, you know...
For those who don't know, Matt Travis was with us on our Junior State of America debate club thing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. He went to the University of Alabama, right? And then
yep.
he got married down there, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And now, apparently, he is Dylan Bicker's unofficial campaign manager.
Very true, very true. I
or suppose maybe just
we
advisor.
Don't have a cam. Maybe we don't have a campaign until all the signatures have been received and turned in.
Yeah,
I'm also
sense.
Like low-key freaking out because, like, if I actually get enough signatures, like, I knew how to run a campaign for JSA because
right.
I ran like 3 campaigns for my friends in JSA, but like an actual campaign with like fundraising
actually has stakes
and
yeah, you need to know. Yeah, it's higher
and,
stakes.
Yeah, it's much higher stakes. It's big fucking stakes.
Big fucking stakes.
And big fucking stakes. Oh my god, I do love me a fucking ooh. I've never had a tomahawk steak, but that sounds really good right now. Because and what made me obviously think about that was saying big fucking stakes like 5 times in a row.
Is that your Dylan Across America campaign? We're going to
that's my...
have a steak at every have a steak in every Midwest city or whatever. And oh man, that's a lot.
You
of steaks.
Know what? I'll you
and
know what
beer.
I'll do?
Steak and a beer.
What'll be way more like in touch with like me coming up from like not exactly a privileged like wealthy mm-hmm. background. Would be if I just like fucking went to every Steak and Shake
oh,
in
yes.
the Midwest.
Please. That is amazing. Oh man. They don't serve alcohol at Steak and Shake, do they?
They don't. Sad. But you know, we could, you know, I still want a shake. That they make those fucking amazing shakes. I'm swearing a lot for someone who's announcing like running for office, but you know what? That doesn't matter because
exactly.
It's
2019.
I'm gonna,
politicians can swear now. It's cool.
Exactly. If our big wet president can say the shit he does on a daily basis, mm-hmm. then a few F-bombs on my podcast that is an officially a platform for me running for office is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm running for office.
Congratulations.
If I make it, please vote for me in Ohio.
Yay.
If you're in the 71st district, which is Licking County, or contains Licking County, which Licking County is in. I need to learn more about the district I'm running
you
for.
You probably
apparently.
Do. Yeah.
It's going to be a tough campaign if I do win the primary, because it's been held by Republicans for like the last 6 years. So, and like the number of like the turnout and the motivation to get out to vote for the Republican side is much stronger. So I'm gonna the GOTV is gonna be like a big mm-hmm. thing for Licking County Democrats. But yeah, I think we can do it. And if so, I'll be the second JSA alum that I know of that'll be serving in the General Assembly. Cool. The other one's Niraj and right. Tani on the other side of the political yep. spectrum. But yeah, good times.
Nice. Yeah, rooting for you.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Yeah, getting some good words for you. Talk to people and get those signatures.
Hell yeah. Big Def.
Most Def? Is he going to be back on the campaign trail? Most Def did a whole thing about force feeding in prison. He did like a whole like thing about he did a whole like video about what that process is and had it done to him.
Yeah,
it's a really powerful video.
That's some fucking commitment.
Great. Yeah. I will pull that up for the, I just said that off the cuff, but I'll pull that up for the notes or whatever.
That's a very big bummer, right. But,
I actually did not expect to be talking about that, but that's what that reminded me of.
Hell yeah. Well, I didn't really anticipate to bring up the whole Southern Jews make do thing either, but we're just, you know, we're very much off the cuff, and those two things are not, unlike my banana, they do not scale. force feeding in prison and me making a joke about me being a Jew.
Most Def force fed under standard Guantanamo Bay procedures.
Oh no.
This was from 2013. As Ramadan begins, more than 100 hunger strikers in Guantanamo Bay continued their protest. More than 40 of them are being force fed. A leaked document set out the military instructions or standard operating procedures for force feeding detainees. In this 4-minute film made by the human rights organization Reprieve and BAFTA award-winning director Asif Kapadia, U.S. actor and rapper Yasin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def, experiences the procedure.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we will put that in the show notes because that's still a problem. There are people still there.
Yeah.
Like, what the
Absolutely.
Fuck? And there are people that are being treated like that. So.
Mm-hmm. And there, so if you wanna, if just to keep the sad train rolling, if you wanna, like really be down about shit that we're doing here in the United States, listen to the latest episode of Dubai Friday, because I'm pretty sure it was so sad, obviously, because Alex wasn't there, and like it really made me appreciate like how, much Alex like prevent Max and Merlin from just dissolving into a puddle of abject sadness. But yeah, there's been a lot of concentration camp news,
right.
And it's really bad, and
arguments about opinions.
Yeah, people trying to use to weaponize bad faith. People on the right saying that, oh, how dare you compare this to this thing that we don't give a shit about, in honesty. It's been really, really rough. And like, personally, cause like as I'm like learning more about my family and obviously specifically my mom's side of the family, I am, like, the reason I didn't know I was Jewish for so long was because of when the Von Erichses, they fled from Germany, they saw the warning signs on the wall, and because obviously the Holocaust didn't happen overnight,
right.
And so they fled to the United States, and they knew that even the United States wasn't going to be the most open towards Jewish immigrants. I mean, we tried to turn them away for a very long time, even when the Holocaust was ramping up. So they kept it a secret. They said they were Catholic, and the lie essentially became almost practically a truth by the fact that it just wasn't told. And so, I don't know why I got on that tangent, but
off the cuff.
Too long didn't read. If you think that what's going on the southern border is not a concentration camp, then you're a fucking idiot, and I don't want you listening to this show, so get the fuck out. But yeah. Oh my god, I'm really sweaty now after telling that story. God.
Yes.
Fuck.
I...
knees weak, arms are sweaty, vomit on my sweater already.
Of the podcast things, Dylan. Do you want to hear about all of the podcast things?
Tell me about podcasts you like.
Okay, so, like I said, maybe before the show or in the show or, I don't know. Like I said, today,
it's all the show.
Everything's the show. I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to a lot of podcasts when I am doing work. So I have how many here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to recommend. I already talked about John Green's Anthropocene Reviewed. So yeah, they he's on the 99% Invisible podcast, and two of his episodes are on that episode. Weird. It's just weird to say episode twice. He gets interviewed by Roman Mars after that, and they talk about how it's very they talk about how their opinions and like the way that they identify as people has changed since they were young when it comes to criticism. They have a really, really important discussion about being defined by the things that you like and care about, as opposed being defined by the things that you don't like and hate. I think that's a really important point to have. John Green at one point says that, you know, cynicism is one of the most overrated things that a person can feel. Especially about other things that other people enjoy. Just being, you know, being shitty about it, like, doesn't add to the discussion. If you're being constructive about stuff, like, you know, that's how John Green's career started. He was a book reviewer. Like, if you are constructive about your criticism and also your likes, and actually take the time to think about something, then you know, it's more more informative to the discussion, and you can actually talk to somebody about why or why not you like something. And if you don't really want to go that route, then just don't bring it up, because you know, it's just shitty to be shitty about something for no reason.
Exactly. But if you do say that that these things aren't concentration camps, I will be shitty to you. But anyway, that reminds me of whatchamacallit. There was a I think it was a bit that we read for the show.
Did we?
We've
had a lot of shows. This is our 24th.
Anyone else? I think anyone but the Outgroup, or I can tolerate anyone except the Outgroup. And so yeah, that's what that kind of reminds me of. But I think that's a good way to kind of, I mean, obviously you can't change other people's minds by, you know, yelling at each other, but I think a more effective way, and we're still not going to change minds at the end of the day, but I think a better way of communicating ideas, especially like, the ideas that are, common to our sort of ideology on our side of the fence, would be better served by talking about things that we like and things that we support mm-hmm. in a positive way, as opposed to exactly. trying to tear down people who disagree with us.
Right.
So
it's really about when we're talking about positive politics, we're talking about what are the key, like, why do I believe in the things that I believe in? What are the key mm-hmm. Issues that will, if not be solved by this policy change, be helped mm-hmm. by this policy change? And yeah. you know, how can I relate that as eloquently as possible? How can I, you know, mm-hmm. Sit down and have a discussion and appeal to somebody's, like, common interest and just as a person and, like, mm-hmm. you know, have those discussions? Because more often than not, we don't have those discussions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I it's a interesting point about relating that to politics. I like that. Got more stuff. Got this 1099. I think I talked about him on a show before, you know. Mm-hmm. But in case you don't remember, 1099 is a podcast about the games industry. Where mm-hmm. they talk about writing, music, any really humanities around games. And so this episode is not a discussion, but it is a feed.
Admonition?
A solo feed that he let his friend John Phillips talk about the piss poor marketing of the new Call of Duty game, mm-hmm. and how, if you don't know, they're rebooting the Modern Warfare series, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
so,
I don't know.
Yeah, so there are a couple comments in their presser that concerned him being a veteran, and like. Actually seeing shit in person and, you know, having people mm-hmm. that have died and, you know, like,
yeah.
So he has a pretty real discussion. I think maybe it's 25, 30 minutes, not discussion, but a real monologue about, you know, why things like, having a level were, you know, trying to make it quote unquote realistic. Mm-hmm. Which is raids and stuff that, like that, and like,
yeah,
more gruesome content.
Yeah, and I mean they've done that for mm-hmm. a while. Like, what was it? Modern Warfare 2 had that whole level, no
right,
Russian, where you essentially like mow down people in an airport. Right. And after like the backlash that was obviously, I don't know how they didn't see it coming, but after the backlash and the shit hit the fan, they sent out a patch update, and it was so you could opt to skip the level.
Yeah, and so in this one, the demo that they have is, I haven't seen the demo, it's a closed doors demo, but they talk about like one of the scenarios is you know, not knowing if somebody's going for like what they're going for, if it's a detonator, if it's something else, but it's a detonator.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you shoot them. Mm-hmm. The other one is turning the corner and almost shooting somebody who is carrying a baby. Like mm-hmm. these are, and like the like implication is that, you know, you could shoot anywhere on the screen. So you could shoot the baby, maybe.
Yeah.
That's
Jesus.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that's very fucked up. And also, that's very much, that guy didn't slice the pie right. like he's supposed to. Fucking, which I'm not going to say anything about because I was never in combat. I was always the good healthcare boy, good public health boy. So, right. yeah.
I thought you would like this episode, though, because he talks about how, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is a video game, and people will play what they'll play, but mm-hmm. to market it in such a way that exploits, you know, the trauma of mm-hmm. actual people who went to actual war is
yeah
kind of dirty.
Oh, it's definitely more than just kind of. I would absolutely say that, yeah, that's fucking disgusting. That's like shit. Like, that's part of why I don't consume gaming news anymore. It's just like, because like it that outrage that I feel about that, I feel like would be like so much better directed in other places. Sure. At least for me. I'm not making that as a statement against anyone else, because like a lot of people I love and care about like are super into gaming news, like
yeah.
you and Griffin McElroy, who doesn't know that I love and care about him, but if he ever comes on our podcast, he'll learn.
And that's the other thing, is that the 1099 is kind of an alternative gaming news source where people actually mm-hmm. talk about their lives and talk about how stuff has impacted them as, you know, people mm-hmm. of color, mm-hmm. people in minority groups, or how mm-hmm. you know, how to change storylines and change like the main narrative of just like the gruff shooter video game,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah
so
I'm getting some big like Anita Sarkeesian energy from this, and
yep.
yeah. Has she been on?
On the 1099? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
That would be...
Because that sounds like...
I mean, they've had 206
like
episodes.
Be right up her
so,
alley. Yeah.
So I'm sure she might have been on one of them.
Gotcha.
Morgan Webb was on one
yeah.
that I had just
oh,
listened
hell yeah.
to. Adam Sessler's been on.
Throwback to the good old X-Play days.
There's this really good episode... I didn't know this guy before this talk, but it's the one where we talk about cancer and alcoholism with Blake Hester. Blake Hester was a former mm-hmm. writer, or is a writer at Polygon, and they talk mm-hmm. about his experience with like the not so great world of journalism deadlines and like. The downside of this career, basically,
mm-hmm.
and of being successful at a young age,
gotcha.
But yeah, I'm kind of we talked very long about that, and I have more stuff to say, so I'm gonna move on.
Yeah, and we are
yeah.
running long. But Dig Dug, real time follow up. Anita Sarkeesian has not been on the 1099. Hmm. But super quick, I do want to say this because you mentioned the solo episode with John Phillips. So friend of the show, Dan Benjamin, was sick last week, or the week before mm-hmm. last. And so Merlin did a solo episode of Back mm-hmm. to Work, and he talked about painting D&D minifigures with his daughter.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
I cried. It was very good. It was a very good episode. And yeah. But anyway, that's why I went.
Back to my podcast review-ish thing. I'll just make these quick. The Scarlet E is Brooke Gladstone's new podcast about how eviction is very hard to shake. Once you've had an eviction,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to get it to find a place for you and your family in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. I've only listened to the first episode. I think that series is running live now. So
mm-hmm.
another live running series is Embedded. They're doing a story, this Embedded story with Mitch McConnell. Yeah. So if you didn't think Mitch McConnell was Darth Vader, you should think Mitch McConnell's Darth Vader. He is an evil. Maybe evil is a harsh word, but he is a smart.
No, he's fucking evil.
Smartly evil motherfucker,
no.
And he is really.
I'd say he's more Palpatine. He's more
right.
Palpatine because
right.
He was never good to begin with.
But you know, he knows that he's never going to be president, right? So he
mm-hmm.
just he's one of those creatures that sticks back in the shadows.
yeah.
But, yeah,
and actively makes things worse for everyone in the country, knowing full well that he's not going to survive long enough to see any of the ramifications of his actions, and he'll never be in a social position where his actions that have brought suffering and pain to people who are not him, not of the same social class, not the same color, don't believe the same things, and don't have the same opportunities as him. He essentially is one of the biggest voices right now that is not only advocating for the concentration camps on the southern border, he's also advocating for legislation to accelerate the apocalypse that's going to occur due to climate change, because he knows he's not going to have to live long enough to suffer the consequences. Right. So you heard it here. Fuck that, Mitch McConnell.
And so the Mitch McConnell podcast is all about his continued relationship with money and power, and how from a young age he wanted the power, and then once he really got into politics, he stayed for the money. So that's a good one. Malcolm Gladwell, I just listened to an episode. I don't usually listen to revisionist history. I listened to the one about the fries. I think I've discussed it on this podcast about the McDonald's fries and how in the 70s they were cooked in lard and now they're cooked in vegetable oil. How that may be healthier, but also it can't, like, the negative effects of vegetable oil, which vegetable oil will make toxic and flammable compound that can blow up on impact, you know, blow up. This one is about,
and there's
this one is about him challenging his one of his editors to a competition on the LSAT, and how Malcolm Gladwell is Canadian, so he didn't grow up doing a lot of standardized testing. I think he said he might have said his only one was for getting into college. But you know, as Americans, we go through standardized testing. Every year in school, you go through a standardized test, and then you have to take, you can take 1, 2, 3, 4 standardized testings to get into different programs. You take a standardized take a standardized test upon intake to the military. Like you have to go through a standardized test to be in the NCAA or to be in like football leagues. Like you have to.
Yeah, and many more
examples. And so he talks about how the standardized testing is not just about smarts, but it's about thinking on your feet, and about the like power imbalance of like actually making it so tests are so strict with time that people have to kind of break up their like original, like if they had time they could answer the questions with more clarity, but because they don't have time, they just have to pick and choose which questions they're going to focus on. And this whole thing about like Americans or maybe just the American system in general thinks that, you know, the people that are the best people to be lawyers are the people that can give answers to the right questions quickly.
Yeah.
Instead of people who can just give answers to the right questions and think critically. So it's a very good one. He's doing a two-parter on that one. And then my last one was just like media framing in general. On the Scarlet E, Brooke Ledstone asks her eviction expert, Matthew Desmond. She kind of makes an offhanded remark about gentrification and how gentrification, you know, it's happening in her neighborhood. And that really puts a, like, that gives Matthew Desmond, like, kind of takes him aback, because he's like, you know, gentrification isn't really like a handoff term, you know, it's a term for things, for a society or a community that has really struggled because the wealth has been impacted or has been sucked out of the poorest of the poor. And so it's not happening everywhere. And you know, you have to be really more careful with your language He doesn't doesn't really say that, but you know, his kind of intent is it's implied there. You have to be more careful about your language when talking about that, because you know, not all places have gentrification, and you know, you took offense to that. And then the other one was, that's just, you know, a hysterical model of what the media tries to portray. You know, gentrification's happening everywhere is like one of the liberal media like sticking points. Gentrification is a problem, obviously.
But it's not happening.
But yeah, so we need to.
That's like saying that spot in Dublin that on Riverside Drive that popped up just past the roundabout that they built there. That's like saying that's gentrification, which it's fucking not. Dublin has never been to my knowledge, Dublin has never been like a community that hasn't been populated by people who are either upper middle class and wealthy. So that's not an example of gentrification, but it's something I've heard thrown around a lot.
My thinking on it is looking at a community and saying that, looking at some place and saying that, oh, that place is gentrified, is like looking at the weather and saying we're going through climate change, or climate change isn't real, one or the other. Mm-hmm. You can't say that, you know. You have to look at hard data and facts, and like it needs to be a discussion about where the money is going. Then the other one was Terry Gross interviewing Ava DuVernay. And she directed a new series on the Central Park Five.
The one on Netflix, right?
Yes. And what's that? That's called When They See Us.
When They See Us, right?
Yeah, so it's more of a personalized drama, personalized to the people to the Central Five.
It tells the story from their perspective.
Exactly. And so she was trying, I mean, I love Terry Gross, but she was trying to get Ava to give her a soundbite about Donald Trump. And Ava kept on saying, you know, like, in my view, and like the interviews that I've had with the relationships that I have with these men, like, this isn't a story about Donald Trump, and like, we do them a disservice for making it about him. So let's talk about them.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, that's another, it's another media framing, because every story needs to travel back to Donald Trump, because that's how you, you know, that's how you get sound bites and views and clicks. So,
yep.
But that is my rant. That's my podcast rant. That's my roundup.
Hell yeah. Boom. That's very good. I think that's a good one to end on. Do you want to get to some plugs?
Some plugs. I just...
What do I look like? A fucking auxiliary.
I was going to... We went a little long today, but I think we've had a good time here on EOW. I just updated my site, which is devnavid.com, with all of the episodes, which I forgot to post. So I posted 6 episodes at one time. Hopefully that brings some more uptick to our listenership, and I hope everybody is enjoying the podcast. Also, you can find me on twitter.com at devinnava on twitter.com. Where can they find you, Dylan?
They can find me on the internet, my dear sweet listeners whom I love so much. You can find me at my website, dylanbickers.com, and on the mini blog there, I need to start posting. Maybe I can make an automated thing, like run a script that'll automatically post whenever a new episode drops on Fireside for posting it on my blog. I have a blog there, and I write some stuff sometimes. I'm working on something now, but it's hush-hush until I'm done with it. You can also find me on Twitter at Dylan Bickers. For all that good, funny tweet content, I should probably make my Twitter private soon. What with like trying to run for office, but until then, I'm gonna keep telling fucking alt-right people to just like suck my balls like all day long.
There's no way that that soundbite would be used against you at all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think that what's going on at the southern border are not concentration camps, suck my balls.
Yeah. Bye. And we have.
Tell us about the music.
Have beats, courtesy of Villainous Beats. DC was nice enough. No, well, I mean, I bought them, but DC's nice enough to let us use them.
Hell and, yeah!
You can listen to all of his stuff at SoundCloud.com/VillainousBeats. What should we do as a closer, Dylan? What's
I don't know. I just fucking...
did you see this? How to reset C by GE light bulbs?
No. All right. Not. What is that?
I want you to pull that up. Are you looking at the dock right now?
Okay. I am about to. Okay. Here
look at
we
the
go.
Dock. Then
reset
open
C
up,
by.
Open up the descriptions. C by GE is a smart light bulb. Open up the description. All right. Okay. How do you reset the light bulb? Start with your bulb off for at least 5 seconds. Turn on for 8 seconds. Turn off for 2 seconds. Turn on for 8 seconds. Turn off for 2 seconds. Turn on for 8 seconds. Turn on for 2 seconds. Turn on for 8 seconds. Turn off for 2 seconds. Turn on for 8 seconds. Turn off for 2 seconds. Turn on. Bulb will flash on and off 3 times if it has been successfully reset.
Jesus
Oh my god. Worst engineering. Just terrible engineering.
You know, Hue light bulbs, Philips Hue light bulbs don't have this level of bullshit that you have to deal with. You know,
fuck
GE. Oh man, I probably just lost a donor.
You just lost GE and all of their microwaves.
That's okay.
The microwave voters will you will pay.
I will pay. I will revolve slowly and feel the heat.
Boom.
From the microwave. Okay, let's end on that joke.
See you,
Devin.
VLNS.
Every other Wednesday.